Overnight, two oil tankers attempted to transit what Iran's Revolutionary Guard is now calling the unsafe route south of the Hormuz Strait. One of them caught fire. Both turned back. The IRGC statement this morning is unambiguous. The strait will not reopen while what they describe as American threats continue. That's not a negotiating position. That's a strategic lockout of roughly 20% of the world's daily seaborne oil supply.
To put that in context, the Strait of Hormuz is the narrowest choke point in global energy infrastructure. At its tightest, about 21 miles wide, with shipping lanes barely 2 miles across in each direction. When it's functioning normally, somewhere between 17 and 20 million barrels of oil pass through every day. What makes this moment different from previous Hormuz threats is that Iran isn't just threatening, they're demonstrating a willingness to let ships burn. That fire on the tanker last night changes the calculus for every insurance underwriter and shipping company in the world, even if the military standoff de-escalates tomorrow.
And the political situation in Washington is, by multiple accounts, genuinely messy. Reporting this morning describes Trump as exasperated because his senior aides cannot agree on a war strategy toward Iran. That's a notable fracture. You have a president who has publicly demanded Iran tariffs be added to Lindsey Graham's sanctions bill, which signals economic pressure. But simultaneously, you have Netanyahu, in a statement that reads as either diplomatic deference or political maneuvering, saying that decisions about war with Iran are ultimately Trump's to make. Netanyahu effectively lobbing the decision back across the Atlantic.
The Netanyahu statement is worth sitting with because it inverts the usual dynamic. Typically, the concern is that Israel might draw the United States into a conflict. Here, Netanyahu is explicitly distancing himself from the trigger decision, which either reflects genuine constraint given domestic Israeli politics, or it's a strategic positioning move where Tel Aviv gets to benefit from American action without bearing the political cost of initiating it.
Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia's defense minister met with Vance and delivered what appears to be a message of studied ambiguity. Riyadh formally favors de-escalation, even as Iraq has been absorbing strikes that Riyadh hasn't condemned. The Saudis are threading a needle here. They don't want a regional war that disrupts their Vision 2030 economic transformation, but they also don't have clean hands when it comes to proxy dynamics across the region.
And then there's Alex Jones. And I don't say this to be dismissive, because when Alex Jones is calling for Trump's impeachment over a war, that tells you something real about the fractures on the right. Jones explicitly cited what he described as an unauthorized war, a looming draft, and a massive ground invasion in Iran. Whether or not his specific claims are accurate, the fact that a figure who was functionally a Trump media ally through two election cycles is now using the word impeachment speaks to how unusual this Iran entanglement looks, even to parts of the MAGA coalition.
The economic dimension here is enormous, and it connects to something we'll cover in the business segment, China quietly cutting oil imports by 5 million barrels a day, which analysts say actually helped avert a global supply crisis in the near term. But that's a temporary buffer. If Hormuz stays closed for weeks rather than days, we are looking at oil price dynamics that haven't been seen since the 1973 embargo. The IEA's finding that Middle East war conditions already drove a 35% jump in global EV sales tells you something about how long-running energy insecurity has been reshaping consumer behavior. That 35% is not a blip, it's structural demand acceleration.
The question that's not being answered clearly right now is what the exit ramp looks like. Iran has laid down a condition. American threats must stop. But American threats is definitionally undefined. The Trump administration has given no public signal of what concession, if any, would satisfy that threshold. And with the Pentagon awarding $135 billion in new defense contracts this week, specifically because Iran war operations are draining stockpile levels, the institutional momentum inside the U.S. defense establishment is pointed in one direction.
$135 billion in a single contracting round. That's more than the entire annual defense budget of the United Kingdom. And it's framed explicitly as a restocking effort, which means the drawdown is already real, which means engagement is already real, at a scale that makes clean diplomatic reversal more difficult every day it continues.